available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, gonna try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
Wow. And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions. One half of us can sing, the other half cannot. That was great, David. Way to sing your way.
Enjoy it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was our second take because you were singing so well, you forgot to say part of your line. Then you're looking at me just laughing. We should have just left that in there.
We should have. We should actually just keep the entire audio from the beginning of this just in there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I just deleted it, so yeah, it's gone. But very good singing there. Yeah, we're the Podcast of Champions. That's what we do. Our conference is still alive, unlike some others, so that's good.
True.
Love that. And we love all of our listeners, and they do a great job sending us questions.
Does love like quite encapsulate it?
It's not the strong enough word. We need a stronger word.
Lust.
We lust after our listeners?
Yes.
We could get arrested, I think. There's nothing.
Maybe. In certain jurisdictions.
Certain states in the footprint of the Pac-12. Yes. We probably could. But yes, we're the Podcast of Champions. You can email us if you have any questions for us, because we got to see this fall camp started. Everyone's in camp now. The whole conference is in camp. Pac-12podcast@gmail.com is the email address. You can also call or text us. We got a voicemail this week. I think our buddy Perk, 424-532-0678. Just pick up the phone. I know you millennials don't call people anymore, but call us and just shoot the shit with us. Talk about Pac-12 football. Ask us a question, whatever you want. You can tweet us at Pac-12 Podcast. It's going to get rolling again. Maybe David will get on there and tweet a little himself, maybe.
Maybe. Who knows?
Usually it takes me to say something he doesn't agree with for him to jump on there. But
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I have to do that every once in a while just to keep him on his toes.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Get him back in there. The website is Pac-12Podcast.com, where you can find all the old episodes and go over to Reddit. Discuss with the other POC listeners, reddit.com/r/podcastofchampions. But most importantly, like we always say, follow us, rate us, give us the 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. You got that app on your iPhone, your iPad. Leave us a 5-star rating, and you can get $100 just by doing so. 2 weeks in a row, we've given out $100 gift cards to Jockey, proud sponsor of the Podcast of Champions, but also the Conference of Champions. Yeah, and do we have any new reviews?
We've got some new reviews, and what? I think we've got a winner somewhere in here today.
Okay. We're getting a lot more reviews than we're giving away $100 every
uh-huh.
time.
Yeah, yeah.
If you give away $100,
we're literally paying people for 5-star reviews now. All right.
Exactly.
This is from Keylime 503, 5-star review. A variable 30 to 60 minute alarm clock. Once again, I had fallen asleep listening to the first half of the podcast, only to get jarringly awakened by the needlessly loud guitar riff that signals the transition into the commercial break. I have always thought Ryan had a swanky podcast studio with all the bells and whistles, but I guess waking us all up to listen to the same 3 commercials about blue gem sex enhancers, a generic CBS podcast no one cares about, and Ryan's other podcast is how we'll eventually save up enough money to buy Ryan an audio mixer. In short, I can definitely recommend this 5-star podcast if you need an alarm for a quick afternoon nap. Have more than 30 minutes but less than an hour before you need to get back to work? This podcast will wake you up in time.
Very nice. I have a very nice audio mixer. It's really just the board, like that sound. We could probably turn it down a little.
No, but it's also the sound of the ads themselves because we don't mix those.
Oh, yeah. That's not – we don't have that in our – we just say, hey, put an ad here, and CBS does that for us.
It's beautiful.
Or Megaphone or whatever. But
also the guitar riff is insanely loud.
Yeah, and we have no idea what the ads are going to be. Like, we don't have any control over that. Nor do we make any money.
It's just weirdly, it's always your podcast.
It's good. I like that.
Happy for you.
Does Bro have an ad on there somewhere? Are they
we just added ourselves to Megaphone. like literally a week and a half ago.
Okay, so you would have if you were like doing your job for the last 2 years.
Yeah, but now I got to figure out a way to do it where like I actually have to do some work and put the guitar riff or some crap in the middle of the podcast and like remember to do it. This our show has a natural break where we can put it in.
That's true. Yeah. I like podcasts with structure, and I've never really had those. Like, it's usually just like talk, break, questions. Like, that's been my like structure. But other people have like, here's this, you know, this is our whatever feature. This is our next feature. That like, I kind of like those, but I've never done those.
No, I find it terrible.
You don't like them?
No, I don't like that at all.
Oh, you like our format?
I love our format.
Yeah.
That's why I insist upon it every week. all right, we've got another 5-star review. This is from Captain Husky Woof. The ASU of podcasts. They're not great, but they show up. Sometimes they surprise you. I randomly picked up an episode after a year off, and they start into 5 minutes on Master and Commander. I'm now fully invested in them again. yeah, that did happen. Oh, Frank in Sacramento with a long boy here.
Oh, boy.
5 stars. The best college football podcast around. 5 stars, of course, the best college football podcast. This is even more true if you love the Pac-12. I should know because I listen to them all. Here's the scoop on the others. Second best is The Audible with Stu and Bruce. These are two veteran reporters with lots of national inside information to share. They never burn a source, and they have many of them. Third best is The Cover 3 podcast. They score high in quantity, if not quality. They are on almost every day and give you great betting information. The drawback is there are 4 guys talking, and you can't tell the 2 deep-voiced posts apart. In fourth place is The Cover 2 podcast. Great college football info despite changing hosts. However, the first 5 minutes is spent hyping their magazines. The good news is, listening on Stitcher, you can power through those segments in 30-second bursts. Fifth place goes to The Solid Verbal. Great takes are given, but you need to get past all the Oregon and Notre Dame homer talk. You also run out of patience with the personal updates that start off the show. See Stitcher jump moves noted above. Last is The Shutdown Fullcast. Too many people talking over each other when they do finally get around to football. Lots of forced laughter, like comedy club open mic night, reminiscent of morning AM drive radio from 30 years ago, Frank in Sacramento.
Well, Frank had a whole review. Like, he mentioned
a lot
of
them. He was reviewing it all.
Yeah. Frank, it's hard to win when most of your review was mentioning other podcasts.
Yeah. That's not going to be a winner, Frank, but we appreciate the 5-star review.
I did go through and try to listen to some other. There's some other Pac-12 podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. There's at least one that was like some fans, like multiple fans across different. I forget what the.
No Truck Stops pod.
No Truck Stops.
Yes.
So that's a Bill Walton thing.
Yeah, that's a No Truck Stops in the Pac-12.
Gotcha.
It's a Big 12 thing, or Big 10 and Big 12 thing.
Okay.
Having truck stops.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of enjoyable. I was like,
right. I respect the podcast, yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it as well.
And I met this girl, Cindy, who was a track star at Washington State, and it's locked on the Pac-12. Like, so it's like a daily one, like a quick one. I think they're like building out some kind of network. So I've listened to a couple other ones, but. I don't think anyone's been around as long as us or as established as us.
No, we have longevity on our side.
Yeah.
Not much else, but we do have
showing
longevity.
Showing up, like literally showing up is,
yeah.
It's sort of like.
At least we don't begin every show congratulating ourselves on recording again like we used to do.
That was,
remember,
yeah,
when we
like,
used to
hey,
do that about every week?
Months.
Hey, we did it again. Yeah.
We both showed up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for the reviews.
We've got 2 more.
Oh, God. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
No. So who's your leader in the clubhouse right now? Number one?
Number one was the variable 30 to 60 minute alarm clock is right up my alley.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We've got one from Larry Scott writing in a review. 5 stars here.
Thanks, Larry.
Podcast of Champions talking all things Big Ten. Pac-12 HQ. All right. So this is setting a scene. George Kliavkov. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to start meeting our fans where they are at. Applause. Yay. Podcasts are the medium of the future. What is the best Pac-12 podcast? There's a lot of them, right? Intern. Sir, that would be the Podcast of Champions, hosted by Ryan Abraham and David Woods. Podcast of Champions. Yeah, Elsa wins it, but you really can't short sell Mulan. George Kliavkov. Give me a minute, everyone. Ring, ring. Big Ten. Hi, this is Kevin Warren. George Kliavkov. Listen, Kevin, got any jobs available?
All right.
I like it, Larry.
Hey, George does listen. He doesn't have to ask his intern because he told me right to my face that you're the podcast that makes fun of my distribution. Like,
yep.
Literally the words he said to me.
And then we finally have one from John USC Trojan. 5-star review. Subject line, give me my underwear. Body, it is a podcast.
That was it?
Yeah, that was it.
I mean, that's a strong one, actually.
I liked that one a lot.
It is very good, but I think...
I like brevity first.
Yes.
I like really hitting the notes in your brevity too, which I think that one does. However, I do think it is between a variable 30-60-minute alarm clock and the skit about George Klyavkov.
Yeah, I think we're going to go with the alarm clock. I think.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think that's the winner.
Congrats. Who was that one from?
That one is from Keylime 503.
Keylime 503. Awesome. $100 for you. Thanks to Jockey. Thanks to our buddy Tom. I think we have one more. So we have one more left, and we'll see if I'm sure they'll send us some more. This has been like super successful as far as it's fun for us. Like,
it's fun for us, and people are getting some good Jockey gear out of it.
And I love, you know, David takes the time to mail those. Wait, that's me, but that's okay. You know, I'll mail them out to you as soon as I get the email.
But I pay for the automatic stamp machine that we have, right?
No. Just the stamp from my kitchen drawer is where it goes up. Right. Yeah. That's okay. Right. It's my pleasure doing it. It's awesome that our listeners do this.
But I pay for this office.
No.
No, I don't do that either.
All this equipment. No.
I bought some of that though, right?
No, not any.
Half? We didn't go splitsies?
No, we did not. It's funny. I was over near Google in Playa Vista the other day.
Our once and future home.
We were like, so when we were part of Scout, we were Scout had just broken away from Fox, but we still had Scout still had offices in the Fox building there, and they let us. We did some original podcasting in there.
Yeah, like, they very reluctantly let us do stuff in there.
And then, like slowly but surely, like the people, like there were 6 cubes there, and then it became like 3, and then it was like, and then like everyone got fired from that part. Like the Fox people got fired.
Yeah, it was literally us two, and then like one senior executive just kind of sitting there.
Yeah, so that's sort of. I wonder if our key cards still work to get into that parking garage. Yeah.
Worth a try.
It's different over there now. I mean, like Google's there, like you, all this stuff. So anyway, that's how that one goes. Well, we're going to do a preview of the Pac-12 North. But we're going to get to some newsy stuff first. You care about the Olympics? You don't care at all, right?
I won't say I don't care at all. I care very minimally.
Okay.
I watched a little bit.
I just watched, like, it seems like America came back late when all the team stuff was going on. Like, we won, like,
so
water
I didn't,
polo,
I wasn't
basketball.
Paying attention to any of that stuff. Like, I watched some of the sprinting.
Oh, like, okay.
I was in it for love of the game. I don't really care about the whole nationalism angle.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, if you want to say we for America, we did pretty good.
Sure.
We got the most medals. But the Pac-12 would have been second if it was a country.
What event do you think you would do best in? Like, and I know you have the volleyball thing.
Yeah.
But do you think you would do best in that?
That's a good question. I probably, like, I mean, those guys are just so much better than me. But, like, what else would I be?
At the risk of being absurd, I think I would do okay at the table tennis. Like, obviously I would get crushed, but I think I could at least return a serve.
Okay. That's good. I mean, I think the same thing would be for volleyball. Like, I could, like, you could probably put me at a libero and I would dig some balls or something.
Right.
But, like, they would tattoo them off my, like, there's no way I could hit again. Those guys are so much.
Right.
Like, I'm a hitter. Like, I'm 6'3".
Right.
Jump okay.
But they're 6'6" and long, and they can jump
longer,
higher than you.
And, like, just would just roof the crap out of me every chance. Yeah, yeah. So.
But you still would say that is probably your best event?
Yeah. There was some.
But what about, like, golf? Like, do you think, so here's the question. Would you get lapped by the field even harder in golf than you would in volleyball, even though volleyball is maybe your preferred sport?
I think those golf guys are so much better. Like, it's like I play a lot of golf and I'm just like not even close. Like, I don't know. I mean, that would be tough. I think someone pointed this out. Like, if you had like 3 years to prepare, I think I was talking to Bruce Feldman actually. 3 years to prepare. Like, would archery be your best bet? Like,
archery,
because like if you just did that, like there's no way I'm gonna ever run anywhere near as fast as those guys. 3 years, 1,000 years to prepare.
What if you just went insane trying to become one of those dressage people, like the people who ride the horses? Like, do you think you could do that in 3 years? Like, just train yourself up incredibly to do that? Because you see, basically, the reason there is you see
the
like 65-year-old dudes who are doing that.
Yeah, the horse is the athlete too,
right?
Yeah.
The athlete who you beat when you're trying to get attacked, right?
Potentially. I think with archery, you could, like, those bows are, like, ridiculous. Like, in 3 years, you could probably, like, oh, he's okay. Like, you wouldn't be, like, an Olympian or anything, but.
Well, that one doesn't. It's pure skill. It's not like, I mean, I'm sure there's some level of like actual athleticism to it at some level, but I think it's like once you're above that baseline, it's just the skill of doing it. It's just practice, right?
Yeah. Like, you'd never be able to swim that fast. Like, there's...
No, like, you would... I mean, I would... Like, never be if I tried to do, like, one of those insane, like, long swims, I would actually just die.
Yeah.
I would actually just sink to the bottom of the pool and be done. Or, like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, marathon, yeah, if I trained for, like, 3 years, I could maybe run, like, a 4-hour marathon, right. Maybe.
And those guys are 2 hours and yeah, 8 minutes or something. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. That would be tough. I would probably still have to go... just volleyball where like I could pass a serve sometimes and like, you know, play back row some. But
yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm going to stick with table tennis. Like, cause I think I could maybe, and this is one of those ridiculous things, but I think I could maybe score a point. Like, I think I could maybe do it.
Okay.
Cause yeah. I've got like a decent enough serve. They all serve kind of weird. Like, I think I could do it.
Those guys, I mean, I don't play a lot. So like, if, you know, I'm not usually, like a lot of games like pool, like I'm probably beating most of my friends. Like table tennis is not, I'm not that good at that one. I just never played that much. Watching those guys just, I'm like, okay, no way. Like
I'm like I would say a 65 percentile player at ping pong.
Yeah, that's better than me. So, yeah. Well, you do well. All right. Well, anyway, the Pac-12 had 108 medals, which was second, if it was a country, behind the USA. So yay, Pac-12. Let's see. Did you read that story by Kyle Bonagora and Adam Rittenberg about Paul Wolf, the former Washington State?
I did. It was a really, really good story. I recommend everyone read it. Kyle's he's a friend of the show.
He's very good. Yeah.
Been on the show several times. But it's just a wild story. I don't want to give away too much, but yeah. It's worth reading in full about Paul Wolf and his mother and just absolutely crazy story.
Yeah, mother missing like 41
missing
years.
Missing for 40, I think it was 49 years, wasn't
it? Was 41.
Or was it 79? Yeah, you're right.
But crazy. It's like if you like the true crime kind of stories and stuff, you kind of get to feel like, okay, this is what happened, but no one really knew. And like, yeah, it gets a little frustrating too, because you're just like, man, how can we not have fixed this for this person at some point, you know?
Oh, it's crazy.
But he's at Cal Poly now, Paul Wolf. But yeah, it was a head coach at Washington State for 4 years. So make sure you go check that out. I tweeted that out. We got some beer sales. I think Washington just announced. UCLA, USC recently. I believe all the Pac-12 schools are selling beer now except for Washington State, Stanford, and I believe Utah. I believe those are the three. Oregon, you can buy, but not like student section stuff, I think.
That seems enforceable.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good idea? Sell more beer?
I can't see why not.
Yeah. It worked before.
Add alcohol to any sporting event. It gets better, right?
Way better. Well, I mean, it's like you have to make the experience of being at the game better, because it's really cool to have a beer in front of your TV and watch a whole bunch of stuff at once. So,
I mean, beyond that, like the TV experience is, I mean, even if you are not drinking, it is just so much better than being at a football game.
Yeah.
And I realize I'm saying something sacrilegious to every one of the like tailgating people. They get really pissed off at me.
Ooh, they do.
They get so mad
because you like tailgating, but you kind of talk trash about it.
I was a crazy tailgater for like a decade, and then I'm like, nah, I'm done with that, because sitting in front of your TV, it's really nice.
Yeah.
You get all the necessary information. You get the replays of different things, so you're not just yelling incoherently about something you didn't see quite right. It's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Watch on TV.
Hmm. All right. Well, you can buy beer most of the places now. So 3/4 of the schools you can buy beer. Wilner had some, like a story on, basically, he said, to secure enduring West Coast harmony, George Kliavkoff must keep the most valuable, most desirable football schools happy. The list starts exactly where Kliavkoff's tour began and started with USC. He went to Oregon next. And he tweeted, a Utah fan tweeted on Twitter, he's like, I hate it, but I get it. And Wilner said, those are 7 words to live by many Pac-12 fans. What are your thoughts on this whole thing about keeping the big brands happy, because it's definitely different than what the Pac-12 has been used to.
I mean, I think they have to do it. I think it's a matter of survival at this point. Beyond everything else, they've got to keep, if they want to keep the league intact at some level, because you have to keep the ones that are happy, the ones that have the potential to leave happy.
Yeah.
At this point. So I think that's the mission right now. Keep them happy and then hopefully continue to improve them through whatever means the league has. I mean, I think it's reality is it's scheduling, you know, making sure that they're lined up for potential big runs when they have the right collection of talent. But yeah, I mean, that's why his tour started at USC. I mean, I know there was a thread on the UCLA board about this whole thing and a lot of consternation that it was so baldly said that USC is the, you know, driver in the Pac-12. And it's like, nothing has ever been more obvious or has been more obvious in the last 50 years. I mean, that is USC. The question is, who along with USC should be listened to?
Yeah.
And I think that's a conversation about the California schools, Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
Everyone else, sorry, probably don't have much of a voice in this whole thing, but Washington, Oregon, and everybody in California, because of the TV markets, are going to have, I would say, more of a prominent voice in this than anyone else.
And I think he would have went to, I didn't ask him about this when we met. I mean, it was, USC was the first stop, but it was like right after Pac-12 Media Day, which was in LA. I think for UCLA, there wasn't a lot of as many people on campus with the schedules and stuff.
Yeah, because they don't start schools early, and they were doing, I think, a little bit more COVID stuff with who they were keeping off campus.
Okay. So, I mean, I think he'll be, you know, he could have easily went over to UCLA, but he did USC, Oregon, boom, boom, off the bat. And yeah, we'll see. I mean, but you're seeing what Texas and Oklahoma did, you're going to have to keep those brands happy to keep people together. And I like what he's been doing. I think he's got a good chance of keeping everything together. We'll see how he does. And then before we get into the preview, the coaches poll came out, which is polls are pretty meaningless. Coaches poll is very meaningless. A bunch of SIDs doing
entirely it. Meaningless.
Pac-12 not well represented.
No.
Oregon comes in at number 12, USC 14, and Washington 21.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Exciting.
No other thoughts.
There were some votes. I think Utah, like UCLA got, I think Cal got a vote.
Hey, go Cal.
Cal won one
did
game.
Did they hang a banner for that? I can't remember.
Stanford got a vote. Maybe Cal didn't. I think Stanford did. Yeah. I mean, I think Cal did.
They etched something on the walls of the stadium for that, right?
The Memorial Stadium.
For getting a
preseason.
Getting a vote.
Yeah.
In the preseason.
A team that went 1-3. Preseason coaches poll received a vote.
I'm sorry. That was some aggressive Cal hate for no reason right there.
Yeah,
sorry, people.
That's your UCLA
yeah.
coming out there. All right. Well, why don't we do little previews of the Pac-12 North. Maybe start with Oregon, I guess.
Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
Quack, quack.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we can. Why don't
yeah,
we do
come
that?
On, buddy.
Oregon Ducks.
There we go. I got to do a lot here on the show. So.
Yeah, I mean, you got to lead this off. You're the only one with notes, and you have to do all the soundboarding stuff. But, like, we all know I'm carrying this thing.
You know, it's funny. This morning I played some volleyball with some buddies, and this one guy, we usually play pretty good together. And for whatever reason, he just was, like, terrible. So you just feel like it's doubles. So, like, you literally have to carry the person, like, you know. So I felt like, you know what? I'm going to, like, I got to carry my partner here in volleyball this morning, and then – in the afternoon, I'm going to have to carry my partner.
No, in the afternoon, you get carried by your partner. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's sure. That's what I was thinking.
Uh-huh.
All right. Mario Cristobal back for his fourth season. Joe Moorhead, we get to see him, his first full season. Tim DeRuiter takes over as defensive coordinator. Tyler Shuck is gone. Transfers out to Texas Tech. Anthony Brown Jr., from Boston College, who we saw later in the season, a couple touchdowns against SC. Probably going to take over. They got Jay Butterfield and Ty Thompson, who's a really good recruit there. CJ Verdell's back, Travis Dye, Jalen Redd, Johnny Johnson, of course, Kayvon Thibodeau, Noah Sewell on the defensive side. Linebacker Justin Flo, expect some big things from him. Mikael Wright, one of the better corners in the conference. Nine offensive starters, seven defensive starters. Any thoughts on the return? Thoughts on the Ducks?
Yeah, I think offensively, I'm excited to see what they do with. I'm thinking it's Anthony Brown from day one.
I would think so.
Behind, I think every single offensive line starter from the bowl game is back. So that's. a lot of continuity between quarterback, running backs, and the offensive line, at least from the end of last year when Anthony Brown was taken on a much larger role. I'm excited to see what he will do over the course of a full season of, you know, getting the major reps. They clearly had more confidence in him at the end of the year. But I'm expecting pretty big things from Oregon. I think they should be very, very good offensively. And then defensively, I think it's just a matter of kind of arresting their slide a little bit from the Jim Leavitt years to now. Because last year they took a step back, got to arrest that a little bit. They've got too much talent to continue to backslide there.
Yeah, they also didn't do well on the turnover front, -9 on turnovers. Schedule's pretty mediocre. Number 49 in the country, according to our buddy Phil Steele. Out of conference, Fresno State at home, Stony Brook at home. But in between, David, they're going to, is that Ohio University? Or is it, no.
Miami, Ohio?
No, wait, that's Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They're really good.
They are really good. Where are they in the preseason? Because don't they have, they've got some stuff they need to replace, right?
They were like 3 or 4 or something.
Yeah, they're going to be really good. They're going to be one of the few teams with more talent than Oregon on the schedule. Oregon will not be favored in that football game. Nope. But they should have a puncher's chance, maybe even a little bit better than that. And that's the only game on the schedule, actually, where I look at it and say they're not going to be favored. Other than that, there's Oregon at Washington, which... right now I would still have Oregon as maybe a road favorite in that, but only by a point or two.
Yeah.
And then Oregon at Utah. But other than that, this schedule sets up, I would say, pretty well for Oregon. They do avoid USC in the regular season.
And ASU.
Well,
that could be a good or a bad thing, depending on what happens.
Well, it's a good thing when it's the context, right? Because they have Arizona. There isn't a situation more than likely where Arizona is a lot better than ASU this year. So, I mean, the schedule sets up for this to be a double-digit win team and potentially greater than that. It really, I think a lot depends on Cristobal and his ability to, you know, continue to manage games better because he's had some flubs in the past that have cost them wins. The Auburn game stands out as one. So I think it's incumbent upon Cristobal to, you know, show he's learned a little bit more as a head coach and then also this defense to, you know, have a firm bottom and try to work back up because this past year wasn't as good.
I agree with you there. You've already done your preseason picks. I need to do mine. So maybe we'll do those like the week before.
2 weeks from now, once we finish the previews.
So we'll do previews. We wanted to kind of do, we both know the South a little bit better, obviously, but the there's more like, I don't know, fluidity in the South. I'd like to wait a little longer before we like preview Arizona State because it could be different. Right. We didn't even mention that. I forgot to mention it at the top.
Oh, more assistant coaches not Antonio Pierce and not Herm Edwards.
Yeah, Prentice Gill and wide receivers coach and Chris Hawkins, DB coach.
I don't care.
You don't care. I know you don't care.
But give me some big names.
1/3 of the coaching staff is now on leave. Like, you should see the motion he's making right now. Yeah, well,
it's circular and forward and back.
I did Canzano's show earlier today. Well, name drop, you know, action. Maybe, you know, I love him. Great guy. Yeah, like we just talked about it for a while. I mean, could you imagine? Like, I just can't imagine that the three most junior coaches, I believe that's the three, you know, like, or two, at least two of them, that's where it's going to end, you know.
I can't believe that my motion didn't somehow get you to stop talking about this. No. But here we are.
It made me want to talk about it more.
Yeah, no, I get it. yeah, I mean, if it stops there, that would be obviously silly because no one cares about three assistant coaches, as I'm pointing out here. When does Antonio Pierce get put on administrative leave?
When does Herm Edwards get
put on administrative leave? Then you have my attention. ASU trying to throw like sacrifices on the altar and hoping it appeases the gods.
And David Woods is not going to have any of his Dikembe Mutombo waving his finger. No, I'm not going to pay attention.
You give me Herm or give me nothing.
All righty. So we'll do our 2 weeks from now, we'll do our picks. David's already done all those, so I'll go through and pick those. We both picked Oregon to win the North.
Correct.
And we both picked Washington to finish second.
Correct.
So let's go with our number two team in the North.
Washington Huskies.
Yeah, Jimmy Lake, his second season. First one, pretty COVID-y. Didn't really get a whole lot going on. Had four games, went 3-1. John Donovan's back at offensive coordinator, and then they got Bob Gregory. He was promoted to defensive coordinator because Pete Kwiatkowski,
Kwiatkowski,
yes, moved on with Sark to Texas. We'll see what that move does. Let's see, overall, so probably Dylan Morris looking at quarterback, but they got the five-star legacy Sam Heward there. Cade Otton, probably one of the better tight ends in the country. He's around there. I think Richard Newton at running back. Trent McDuffie, one of the great DBs in the league. But, you know, a bunch of guys back on defense. There's 10 returning starters on offense and 8 on defense. We're seeing a lot of big numbers for the returning starters because so many people are just back because the COVID stuff. But overall thoughts on the Huskies and could they beat Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, I think Washington's going to be pretty good this year, and I think the schedule sets up for them to be, you know, potentially right there with Oregon in the league. I'm not super sold on Jimmy Lake so far. I think this is a major kind prove-it year for him. And, you know, I think offensively it looked altogether pretty similar to the Chris Peterson years to me. A boring, kind of dreary offense under John Donovan.
Not the Jonathan Smith stuff that we liked.
No. Dylan Morris, I think, looks okay. I think he looks serviceable at worst. But yeah, I'm not completely sold on that receiving core as like a playmaking group. And then I think defensively, they're going to have to work some things out in the defensive backfield. Overall, I think it'll be a solid Washington team like we're completely used to. I think Jimmy Lake needs to show something because that still is probably a top three talented team in the league right now.
Yeah.
And they need to play like it for an entire season.
They do have a big offensive line and everybody's back there. So maybe, you know, try to lean on some people. I think Jimmy Lake wanted to have like that downhill running. So we'll see what happens there. They did lose Jacob Sermon. He transferred out to Central Michigan. They pick up a wide receiver from Texas Tech, Jalen Polk. So maybe he'll help out with those receivers a little bit. The schedule strength, number 57 in the league. And similar to Oregon, they got a week 2 road game against a Big Ten opponent. Easier than Ohio State. Bigger name. I mean, as big of a name. Michigan, but yep. Not as, you know, powerful as the program is. Ohio State's a, you know, perennial college football playoff participant, and Michigan has not been.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity for a big win. Name win.
Absolutely. And so they've got that opportunity. They're going to paste Montana and Arkansas State. So similar to Oregon in that respect is that more than likely, you know, 2-1, but maybe a 3-0 if they, you know.
It would be a strong 3-0.
If they play their cards right. And then in the conference schedule, they, like Oregon, avoid USC, which that's huge this year. And unlike Oregon, they actually avoid Utah.
Yeah.
On the flipped
schedule. It's a good schedule.
Yeah. So Washington has one of the more favorable conference schedules, I think, in the league this year.
Yeah, they got 2 Friday games, but, you know, one of them's at Arizona, which, you know, 12-game losing streak. And Apple Cup, which what they've won like 10 of 11 or something in the Apple Cup. It's been a pretty dominant run.
True. But no air raid this year.
No air raid. They get the run and shoot.
Yep.
Didn't get to happen last year, right?
I think so.
They missed it for the first time like forever.
True. Yeah.
So we'll see what they're able to do there. But it could be a, you know, I'm curious to see what the defense looks like because they got guys back. But, you know, losing the mastermind of everything, how is that going to work out? So we'll see.
True.
One thing I forgot to mention with Oregon, did you catch this a couple weeks ago? 2 of their defensive backs got arrested, like those shooting, like those pellet, like airsoft guns at people or something.
No, I missed it.
Yeah, DJ James and safety Jamal Hill. So I think they were Jamal Hill. They were charged. I don't believe they were arrested, though. So I don't have to see what goes. That was like a week ago, so I haven't heard anything new. But I forgot to mention that in the preview, so my apologies for that. Who do you want to go number three?
I went the sturdy golden bear.
Yeah, I think we should do... I like that. We'll go number three.
California Golden Bears.
Justin Wilcox, fifth season. Kind of a prove-it year. A lot of prove-it years, I think, in the Pac-12. Just coming off the pandemic, it's sort of like you can get a bye year. That's got to be prove-it year for Wilcox. You got Bill Musgrave as the second season offensive coordinator, Peter Sermon. He's been on the staff for 4 years, but second year as defensive coordinator. Of course, Chase Garbers have been there forever, you know, MVP of the league in 2019. Nine returning starters on offense, eight on defense. Yeah, I mean, this is a team that, you know, has some potential to be really good. They got 10 super seniors. They did lose one of their better defensive linemen, Brett Johnson. He had hip surgery, so he's out for the year. But this is a team, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what direction Cal could go, but if the offense gets better, you think the defense is going to be good. They had weird COVID year. Like, it was just, you know, they beat Washington last year. You know, like, it was just a weird overall. It's one of those teams where you're just like, I don't know what I'm going to gain from 2020. But I think there's a lot of potential in 2021.
Yeah, this is, I mean, we'll get to the schedule in a second. This is one that's also influenced by the schedule for them in the league. But yeah, I mean, looking at Cal, the offense is never going to get figured out. They're going to be bad every year under Justin Wilcox. The question is just whether Chase Garbers will be healthy enough throughout the year to keep it from being the worst offense imaginable.
Okay.
When he's in there, it's not the worst offense imaginable. It's just the worst offense in the Pac-12. When he's not out there, it's the worst offense in the realm of human conception. Like, if you just extrapolated as far as you could, this is the furthest extent of what you can imagine.
Right. Neanderthals, like, right. Throwing a
exactly.
Skull of a...
Whereas Chase Garbers is just like, 2008 UCLA. But without Chase Garbers, it's, you know, it's nine-man football garbage. Against okay. 11 guys. Okay. So that's it offensively, but defensively, I would say there's some tweaking that needs to be done here regardless. They've been good defensively, but they haven't been elite now in a couple of years. They're not really disruptive at all, and I think that's an area where they need to show some improvement this year. They do return quite a bit of their top tacklers from last year, so the hope is that there's just some progression from that group, but yeah, I think Cal's going to be decent, and for me, the main reason I think they're going to be third in the North is that the schedule lines up pretty well for them.
Yeah, Phil still has them the number 38 schedule in the country. They do have a road game, another week two road game against TCU, big mm-hmm. one.
Yep.
You think TCU is going to be upset that their conference got blown up? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they're depressed. Maybe Cal can take advantage of them.
Nevada, Sac State, you know, those are certainly winnable games. They do miss Utah and Arizona State. So our top three teams have missed, you know, the better teams in the South. So that in the North, so that certainly helps.
Yeah, they're getting the better end of, so each of the top three teams in the North, they're getting the better end of their rotations this year.
Yeah.
And there isn't a rotation where Cal avoids USC, so it's just not possible, but they get Arizona and they get Colorado. Those are two wins, whereas Utah and ASU would be more than likely losses. So for that reason, that's why, you know, Cal looks like a potential 7-5 team, because they can go 2-1 in non-conference, and then this sets up at least for them to go, you know, 5-4 in conference play.
Yeah.
I think that's completely on the table for them. So even if they're not great, I think Cal's in good shape for a bowl game this year.
They do have to play at Washington. It'll be after they play Sacramento State, so that's, you know, okay. I would say the at Oregon game in week 7 is big. They have a bye, but Oregon also has a bye. So fully rested teams going at it, but that's going to be in, you know, Autzen Stadium. You know, they have a road game against Arizona. It's like, okay. Road game against Stanford, that's still in the Bay Area. And they play the Bruins on the road, too. So a couple road games to end the season. But I don't know. This is a team that could be, you know, if they stay healthy, it could be pretty good. I think most of the offensive line is back. They did have, what's it called? They had, Michael Saffel. So he was one of the better offensive linemen, I think, from the previous year. He ended up medically retiring. But I think for the rest of the guys are back. So they got a, you know, 9 offensive starters back. Of course, Chase Garbers, you got to see him back. So, yeah, we'll see how this how this team does. But, you know, there's, I think, you know, can they win the South? I mean, can they win the North? Can they, you think they can?
No, not this year.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be decent. I don't think they're going to be good.
They beat Washington last year. I mean, they could finish second or something in the North.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked, but I just don't see them beating both, getting past both Oregon and Washington.
But you just can't go, like, you know, 5-7 or something. This team's got to be
Yeah, better. This team, yeah. I mean, with that schedule, I think anything under 6-6 would be an abject disappointment.
All right, where do you want to go fourth?
I think I had Stanford fourth, so we can go with them.
We can go with that. We'll stay in the Bay Area.
Stanford Cardinal.
Double digits for David Shaw, 10th season. And, of course, the staff never changes. Tarita Pritchard, his 11th year on the staff, fourth as offensive coordinator. Lance Anderson, 15th year on the staff, 8th as defensive coordinator. So you got Jack West, Tanner McKee. They're going to – McGee looking to compete for the starting spot with at quarterback with Davis Mills gone. Bunch of losses. I mean, more losses, I think, for Stanford than all the other teams we're going to preview. Six offensive starters back, 8 on defense. But, you know, Curtis Robertson was a big name. They lost him. Thomas Schaefer at defensive end. Malik Antoine, the safety. Simi Fehoku, the, you know, stud wide receiver. So, there's some significant losses, I guess you would say, for the Cardinal. And I think both of us are thinking this could be a fairly down year. I think the gap between what I'd put Cal at and Stanford, I think, would be significant.
Yeah, I think Stanford's going to be bad. If you just, I mean, quarterback alone, it's going to be tough to match what Davis Mills was able to do when he was healthy last year. Has Tanner McKee won the job yet?
I thought they're still competing.
I think it's Jack West and Tanner McKee still competing. So I think either one of those guys, I think they're going to be a step down from Davis Mills. The offensive line loses a couple of guys. Shaw has talked it up as
he thinks it's a great offensive line.
He thinks it's going to be great. I don't know if that's just him gassing it up and trying to, you know, get people, you know, on board with this team this year. I just don't see it. I didn't think they were all that great last year. And they've since lost two starters from that group. You know, they also lost Simi Fehoko. So I'm failing to see the offense being super great this year. They were decent last year. Did their typical bumped back up.
4-2. Like we they're not getting.
It was a really soft 4-2.
The last four games, what they won by like 10 points.
They won their four games by like a combined 10 points.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's the offense, I think, is going to take a small step back this year. And that was the better part of the team last year. The defense is the problem for Stanford, and it has been for like 5 years now. They're just not good. They haven't been in a while. They can't stop the run. All those years of seeing those, you know, big, strong, tough linebackers and defensive ends, those are gone.
Yeah.
They don't have those guys anymore. And I just don't see that just suddenly materializing, especially with the losses on that side of the ball. So I think they're going to be mediocre on both sides of the ball, mediocre on offense and potentially bad on defense. And I think the combination is going to be pretty damn ugly.
Yeah. I guess the question is going to be, could a Washington State or an Oregon State finish ahead of them? I think
there's no
possible
question. For me, it was the Stanford. They play such a funky style that they can disrupt some teams sometimes and win some games that they maybe shouldn't. I think that's why you see a 4-2 last year when their quality certainly suggested they should not be 4-2. So there's always potential for them to win a weird game that they shouldn't, just because they play such a weird and odd slowdown style. And if they hit just right. But yeah, I mean, the schedule is not, it's not easy, I would say, because they literally don't play anyone who's outside of the Power Five.
Yeah. All Power Five opponents. Schedule strength, number 8, according to, Phil Steele. They got Kansas State in Arlington to start the season, and then go to USC and go to Vanderbilt. Like,
and no Colorado and no Arizona.
Yeah, so they, as far as missing Colorado, Arizona, like, would you say those are the two bottom teams in the Pac-12 South?
Pretty close.
Yeah. So,
I mean, pretty close to the two bottom teams in the league this year.
Yeah. So this is not an easy schedule. I think making a bowl game would be an accomplishment.
And yeah, I mean, honestly, I could see So the like high end for what I can see for them is 6-6 probably. Like that's like peak performance for me. They could go 2-10.
Yeah.
Like that could happen. This could be the bottom falling out year for Shaw.
Yeah. You were going to play Kansas State. You know, maybe they're pretty upset that they lost their friends in Texas and Oklahoma. Far away from home. And you got to play at an SEC school. Now, the worst SEC school, but you're playing at one. And, oh, by the way, Notre Dame is coming.
They're not at home until September 25th against UCLA.
Mm. Yeah. That's a...
What are you doing, Stanford? This is almost as absurd of a schedule as the time they went on the road to Central Florida. Do you remember when they did that?
Yeah. It was like...
What are you doing?
Yeah. Not so good. So... Where did you remember the record you predicted for Stanford?
I think it went 4-8.
Okay. I think that's probably about where I'm going to put them, but we'll see. Yeah. So Stanford got some work to do. We'll see there. And then
I had Oregon State ahead of
you did. Okay. Why don't we do this one?
Oregon State Beavers.
Another prove it year coach with Jonathan Smith in his fourth season. Brian Lindgren is also in his fourth season offensive coordinator. Tim Tibisar, fourth year as the defensive coordinator. They run that 3-4 kind of style, wide open quarterback room. Tristan Jebbia started last year, but you got Chase Nolan there. Sam Noyer transferred in from Colorado. I think the Ben Gulbranson guy, he's out with a shoulder injury, but they got a big competition there at quarterback. A lot of people returning, 10 offensive starters, 9 defensive starters, but you know, some big losses. Jamar Jefferson, he's off to the league, and the running back, and Hamilcar Rashid, the linebacker. I think he led the Pac-12 in like tackles and stuff. He's in the NFL too. So a couple big name losses, but most guys most people are returning. There's a lot of optimism there. They were like in a bunch of games last year. I mean, they seemed to like get better. Like it wasn't like they were getting blown out. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the Beavs?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot needs to get figured out at quarterback. I thought they had some inconsistency at the position last year. I think the running game should be strong. Even with the loss of Jamar Jefferson. I think BJ Baylor, I mean, I've always been impressed by him. I think and they also got a transfer from South Carolina. So I think between, you know, whatever they can work up, I'm pretty confident in Jonathan Smith's ability to craft a running game.
Yes.
And generally offense, because I don't think any of the quarterback options he had last year had much talent whatsoever. Tristan Jebbia, Chance Nolan. They were still able to squeeze some pretty good performances out of them over the course of the year. So I think that... I don't know. I'm a big Jonathan Smith guy. I think he gets the most out of what he has in terms of talent every year. I think for them, it's going to come down to whether the defense can continue to step up a little bit and can continue to rise. Because I'm relatively confident that offense is going to be hovering around a top 40 unit for basically the foreseeable future with Jonathan Smith there.
Yeah.
It's just a question whether that defense can get into a similar range. And if it is, yeah, I mean, they could be good. They tend to get a lot of transfers there, so it's hard to fully gauge what it is based off just returning starters and that sort of stuff, because you don't know how guys are going to fit the new pieces and everything. So they're always one of the teams I'm excited to watch, because it's always something a little bit newer than you were expecting based off like returning rosters and everything.
If they had like a returning quarterback that they're confident in, like if they had like a Chase Garbers kind of guy and all the guys they have returning and stuff, I'd feel it would be like they would be like a one of those NCAA tournament teams from like a mid-major that has like a senior point guard and a lot of guys that have been on the team for a while, and you're just like, oh, this team's gonna be good. They've kind of built those 4 years and put it all together. But without that like quarterback piece that you're sure of, maybe someone emerges and they like them. I don't know. But yeah, we'll see. Their schedule, strength number 30, according to Phil Steele. They got games. They start the season at Purdue. You know, I think that's a winnable game. But again, it's another tough road game out of conference. We've seen a lot of those for the North. Hawaii and Idaho. I don't know.
Hawaii's winnable, but that's not a...
Have you looked at them?
It's not a walk in the park.
Because, you know, UCLA...
They return a lot, and Todd Graham's a good coach. So I wouldn't sleep on that one. I think it should be a game Oregon State's favorite in, but I wouldn't sleep on it.
And the, you know, they miss UCLA and Arizona, so not ideal as far as like who you don't have to play in the South. They go on the road to play USC, and they have Washington at home. That's kind of a tough back-to-back, especially if you go like 1-2 in that out of conference, then you got USC, Washington back-to-back. So, I, you know, winning that Hawaii game would be big. Obviously, going 3-0 would be awesome.
Yeah, but. And this is where it comes in, the schedule comes in, because I think if Oregon State had Cal's schedule, I'd have them ahead of Stanford, right? They just, they got, they're getting kind of worked with the schedule a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. Like I mean, Stanford is too, but, you know.
Eh. Yeah, all things being equal, I think Oregon State's pretty similar to Stanford. It's just I would have them on a rising trajectory versus a falling trajectory for
Oregon
Stanford.
State has Stanford at home week 11.
Going to be a battle.
So, I mean, it's tough. You've Oregon State behind them, but they get Stanford at home.
I think it's going to happen.
You think they'll beat them?
Got to do it.
All right.
Predicting it now.
Putting it, you change your pick?
Uh-huh. No. I will.
Because it wasn't. All right. And then I guess pulling up the rear, which I don't think, I mean, I think Washington State could actually finish fourth, maybe even third, I don't know, in the Pac-12 North. And I'm going to give them the good one.
Washington State Cougars.
Yeah. So Nick Rolovich, second season. Is COVID going to play? We haven't really had talked COVID, but I even deleted the COVID canceled button on the thing because like needed some space. I'm like, we don't need that anymore. But I saw a picture of him like doing a interview where he's like full on N95 kind of mask thing and stuff. You know, it's like, it's going to be, that's going to be weird, right?
Yeah, it's going to be super weird. It's going to be
not
super
vaccinated,
weird.
If you don't
well,
know.
And yeah, and they lost a bunch of games last year to COVID as it was.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see this in a lot of respects. Both like, are they going to get hit by COVID again because their coach is an idiot? But also, we haven't really seen Nick Rolovich's Washington State yet.
No,
like we really haven't. We've seen four games of it, and they were limited in a lot of those games. I'm interested to see what that looks like. You know, this year, I think they lost a ton of their receiving production from last year. So yeah. It's going to be a little bit topsy-turvy, but they've still got Max Borgi. Jaden Delore is, you know, there.
He's going to compete with Cameron Cooper and Jarrett Guarantano.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens at quarterback. But defensively, they actually return a ton. Like
yeah.
They return, I think, 10 starters back and basically almost every buddy who had a tackle last year. So might they be decent defensively?
I think they'll be better. I think
yeah.
they will.
And yeah. if they're able to, you know, get some things done defensively, you've got to be relatively confident that Rolovich is going to be able to produce some offense.
Four offensive line returners. So that's good. They got Deion McIntosh too, is a really good running back to go with Borgi and Javell Harris. And I know they lost some production at receiver, but he's back. So
yep.
that, that helps. And a lot of, you know, Jalen Watson was a one-time USC signee, and he's been a great corner for them. A couple good defensive ends. I mean, yeah, so, I mean, I think there's some potential there. Their staff is intact. You know, this is one of those things where it's like your first year is the COVID year. It's really hard to kind of tell what's going on. But there were some people that I thought would have some momentum coming into 2021, like ASU, and they sort of, like, disrupted themselves. Washington State's in the same boat. Like, I feel like they've disrupted themselves with this COVID stuff. And you're like, I think I would be higher on them if there wasn't going to be these kind of distractions around the program.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have a bunch of their linebacker core. I think they're all like 6-year guys too. So mm-hmm. like
there's a lot of experience. I mean, they could be good defensively. And if that goes, you know, their way, they're one of the teams that I think could surprise and potentially be, you know.
They were up on somebody like.
I don't know. You're asking me about
28-7 or something. I forget which
game
it was.
Are you talking about last
football season?
Year.
They were up. What was the game? Was it? Oh, Utah. They were up like 28-7 and lost 45-28. So something like that. They've given up some big plays on defense too. So I think you got to be a little more sound. There was some kind of feast and famine attempts, but it's looked good. Like they were shutting down Utah for a while, and then it just sort of like just got their block knocked off there. Schedule wise, middle of the pack, number 45. What's the out of conference games are Utah State, Portland State, and
BYU.
Yes, to BYU in the middle of the season. But they're all at home. So a bunch of home games. You know, they do play on the road at Oregon. They play on the road at Washington. They get USC at home.
They get USC and Utah instead of UCLA and Colorado.
Yeah. So that's
not tough break.
And that's early in the season, too. So, you know, they'll be 2-0 going into that stretch, but they go USC at Utah and at Cal. So, you know, that's you got to try to win one or two of those if you can.
Yeah. Try to escape that without too much disaster.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our Pac-12 North preview. Please yell at us if we miss something obvious with your team, because we're both not that smart. And, you know, we do our best. But
we discussed. Like,
Did you not know that blah, blah, blah?
We discussed previewing the Pac-12 North approximately 5 minutes before the show.
Yes. To be fair, this wasn't like a week of prep. I've been like going crazy. Like, I've just been at USC every day. And then like you get home and then you're like editing video and writing stories. And like I had to like take 2 hours out of my day to try to like think about this preview, which, you know, I could have been creating content and stuff. So yeah, sorry if it wasn't as thorough as
it was. Beautiful.
Been. Yeah.
I laughed, I cried.
Nice. All right. Well, let's take a break and we'll be back in a minute to answer questions.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right. We're back here on the podcast of Champions. Woo-hoo-hoo. I don't think we have that many questions this week, so we can get through this. I think.
Fight power with power. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is from Clean. If a new order is inevitable and the large schools will end up in an NFL-style format league, why don't the remaining Big Four conferences fight power with power against the SEC and ESPN? The SEC will continue to take because they can, and a lot of schools would join if invited. Should the other four conferences get together with Fox, CBS, and NBC to create their own, quote, league and championship without the SEC and ESPN? That would put the SEC on the outside, unless you think the SEC would still wield more power. The Big Four could invite members away from the SEC to join the large group. I'm guessing they would not earn more money than the SEC TV deal, but the demand for SEC product that simply a small outside for SEC product that simply a small outside league may wane and create a more even playing field while protecting their own product. I hope that makes sense. Thank you and keep up the work. Clean, from a power in college football standpoint, I think you have something there. The problem is the money, because what you're talking about is the four leagues where if you split up the pie between those four leagues, the money per school is still going to be less than what the money per school is for the SEC.
Yes, significantly less.
Significantly less, because you're talking about a bunch of small markets and areas that people don't care. So I don't see, because money is the driver here entirely. I don't see this sort of thing happening. Now, I think you could see it on a smaller scale. I think the Big Ten itself is going to want to, rather than be subsumed, create a second pole. But I think this is looking like a bipolar setup to me, not necessarily a thing where there's going to be some way to exert power over the SEC. I think this
We've allowed this monster to grow too big.
Yeah, this would be tough to do. Like, first of all, you'd need like a governing body, and every one of these conferences are going to do what's best for them. You would have to get all the four other conferences, the Power Five, to come together and essentially some kind of siege around like the SEC, right? Like, we got my Stalingrad book over here. You're trying to just like choke them out, but they're very strong.
Don't get me wrong. For the health of the sport and the longevity of the sport, would it be better if all of the conferences agreed to be under an organized body that actually had some power?
100%. Yeah.
It would be better for the longevity of the sport. The way things are going isn't... I mean, I don't think anybody would argue that it's good for the long term of the sport. What you have is a lot of people who are desperate for money, and they want the more money for their school. And that's what's going into this. It's this insane power struggle where... Or this insane... race where it's all about we've got to get a better facility, we got to pay more for our coach, the whole thing. And then it's this self-fulfilling cycle where then they need more money coming in, need more TV deal, need more of all this stuff, and so the end result is it's not about winning games or playing the sport well or whatever. It's about making money, which is why you see Texas and Oklahoma deciding to go into the SEC when that dramatically reduces their chances of making a playoff, because they want the money.
Exactly.
So end of the day, that's going to be bad for the sport. It will turn it into something potentially regional, potentially more professionalized in terms of the actual product itself. So you're right, Clean. Hopefully some sanity prevails with some long-term thinking, but we don't do long-term thinking in human society anymore, especially. So we're probably just going to continue to watch it get worse and worse.
Yeah. And
I'm not just talking about football.
Right. But I would say no one was going to come together and say, hey, this is what we should do. Kevin Warren's going to do what's best for the Big Ten. And George Klyavkov's going to do what's best for the Pac-12. It would take a miracle for something. And I don't even know if that would work, but it would, yeah. There's a strategy. It's like everyone gang up on them, but people are just going to do what's best for their little fiefdoms, right?
Yeah. Well, because as sea levels rise, you've got to be a little bit more, a little bit more cognizant of your own people.
Yeah. This is from Alfred. He says, hey guys, the Buffs have a quarterback competition during fall camp between Brendan Lewis and JT Shroud. After practice, when Lewis was asked how close the competition is, at this point he stated, quarterback coach Langsdorf posts a new sheet every day with our percentages, completions, reps, all that. So we know we can see how we're doing. I find that openly communicated quantitative assessment as an intriguing approach, given that Lewis was not recruited by Langsdorf or Durrell. I wonder if this stats quote sheet is available to the entire team, and if this is an intentional choice to show the players that the coaches don't have any biases among quote their guys. Do you guys know if this is a common coaching practice to determine a starter? As you mentioned on the pod, Lewis is more of a, quote, dual threat, and with Shroud more of a pocket passer. With what I assume to be a very heavy 12-personnel Colorado offense, would you opt for a running quarterback or a throw-it-over-the-top QB? Cheers from Alfred. And just to answer this question, I did a little research. I emailed our buddy, Adam Munster Tiger. So he said, the sheet that displays how Lewis and Shroud are doing is in the quarterback meeting room, so I doubt other players are looking at it or are worried about it. They did the same thing with Sam Neuer and Tyler Lytle during the quarterback competition last fall. Lewis and Trout do have different strengths, as the listener points out, but Langsford said their system does not change depending on who is behind center. Shroud's overall a more accurate passer, and Lewis can make plays with his legs, as evidenced by his performance in the Alamo Bowl last year, but Lewis is not a Khalil Tate type. He still looks to pass first. The competition is neck and neck following 15 spring practices and 6 preseason practices. Most expect Lewis to win the job, but I have a gut feeling it might end up being Shroud. We shall see. Thanks, Adam, for that one.
Is the sport still college football?
It still is.
Right? Then you want the guy who can run too. So that'll be Brendan Lewis. He should be the one who wins.
All right. Well, he's expected to, according to our buddy Adam.
So. Well, he said
he had
a gut feeling it's going to be JT Shroud.
You don't like his gut feeling.
I'm just saying.
All right.
This is from Mark in Vancouver. Rivalry brawls. Hello, champions. Inspired by a similar question on the college football subreddit, if each of the head coaches of the Pac-12 rivalries and Utah versus Colorado, since it's not a rivalry, fought one-on-one in a steel cage, which coaches would win? Okay.
This is right up our alley, right?
We love this.
I feel like we've done this, though.
We have. Territorial Cup, Jed Fish versus Herm Edwards. All right, so here's the deal. Jed Fish, probably not the athlete Herm Edwards once was. Jed Fish, a full two decades younger.
Or more? How old are they?
Jed Fish is 45.
Okay, he's a little older than I thought. All right.
And Herm Edwards is 67. 22. So,
22 years.
So here's the thing. At 67, you're bordering on the brink of being old.
Yeah.
Right? Like being a little bit slower.
You might have put off a hip replacement
Your bones might be getting a little brittle. And this isn't, I'm not trying to be ageist, just the realities of the situation. You're getting into you're actually, elderly.
I would put Herm against most 67-year-olds. But
get me wrong. He would kick the hell out of a 67-year-old, but I'm just saying a 45-year-old man, you're still hovering around your prime.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. I think I got to go Jed Fish.
Yeah, me too. He had some really good energy at the Pac-12 Media Day.
Now, here's a fun one.
All right.
Chip Kelly versus Clay Helton. Whew. Clay Helton's in a lot better shape.
He is.
And I'm not saying he's in great shape, but he's in a lot
better shape. He's better
than Chip. Chip's scrappy, though.
Chip's a little younger, right?
No, Chip's in his 50s.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who do you think looks young? I think Chip looks younger than Clay Helton.
Chip's got kind of a baby face, but it's again because he's,
he's had a few donuts in his day.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Whatever. It's no big deal, haven't we all?
I could go for a donut right now.
Yeah, that sounds so good. Mm. Got to go Clay Helton here.
I think I'll go Clay.
He's a much nicer guy, though.
He has not, I think Chip would be his demeanor.
Chip's got some scrap to him.
In the demeanor in the cage, I got to give the edge to Chip, but I think Clay's just going to be,
He's just in better shape.
Yeah.
David Shaw versus Justin Wilcox. So Shaw's got the reach here and size, I would say. Wilcox isn't super big, is he?
He was like a linebacker, right? I thought he was.
I thought he was a DB. Am I wrong?
Oh, maybe he was, but I thought they were about the same size.
Let me look. All right, hang on.
Do we have his measurements on there? Wikipedia.
I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
So he played defensive back at Oregon.
Okay.
Justin Wilcox. He's 44. Shaw, I think, is 50. Yeah, Shaw's 49.
So they're close in age.
But Shaw's 6'3". I don't think Wilcox is that tall, is he? He was a DB in the late 90s. DBs weren't 6'3".
Then. I don't think he's 5'11 either, though. I think he's 6'1 or something. But
come on. Justin Wilcox, Oregon height.
See the roster back in the day?
Yeah, dude. Come on.
I don't think he's short.
Well, you know Justin Wilcox. You've met him. You've seen him.
Yeah, I've seen him. Recall him I would have guessed they were close in size.
Okay, so you're not giving Shaw the advantage.
I'm not going to give him a reach advantage or anything.
Okay, all right. Wilcox seems angrier. Shaw's a little bit more cerebral.
Yeah. Wilcox might have the edge in a cage kind of thing.
All right, we'll go Wilcox. That's fine. All right, then we've got Mario Cristobal versus Jonathan Smith. Sorry, Jonathan, that you're not winning that one, buddy.
Wait, hold on. Never mind.
Jimmy Lake versus Nick Karonovich.
we need a Nick Karonovich drop.
Jimmy Lake, though. All right, how big are we talking there?
He was a DB.
He was a
also.
DB as well, right?
Yeah.
All right.
And Rolovich, I feel like he could pull out a musket or something out. I guess maybe that's more of a, his predecessor, but.
He's 2 years younger, but for all intents and purposes, they are the same age.
Yeah.
Nick Rolovich is. I don't have a height on him.
My gut's gonna go Lake.
Yeah, I'll go Lake. I would say. What was Rolovich? Was he a quarterback?
I think so.
Is that what he played? Let me see.
I'm going to go the defender. Over
yeah,
the
no, you don't go somebody who's a quarterback. Let me just make sure. Yeah, he was a quarterback. So, right. No. Sorry. Sorry, Nick. You don't. Quarterbacks don't win fights.
Okay.
All right.
That's it. We're done.
Carl Durrell versus Kyle Whittingham.
Just say we're done.
Okay, so obviously Kyle Whittingham wins this.
Okay, what if it was a 10-inch Kyle Whittingham?
But what if it was? Here's the thing: if it was a long distance race, I would give it to Carl Durrell.
Sure, this is a cage match.
Cage match
with essentially a grizzly bear.
Yeah, no, Kyle Whittingham probably wins this whole thing.
Probably, yeah. No, I would go.
Cristobal might get offensive linemen can play mean.
Yeah,
Cristobal might give him a run, but. Yeah, no. This is,
I would say, yeah, there's no...
This is Kyle Whittingham's game.
For sure. And it's one of those things where you could do the Saturday Night Live skit where, like, you know, the Mike Ditka thing. Like, it's like, what if Ditka was only 10 inches tall? And, you know, whatever. Like, we could do something like that. But
yeah,
Whittingham's going to win. I forgot we had a voicemail.
We have a voicemail.
Play that for you.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Burke. In terms of the talk with all the conferences and stuff like that, it seems like there's been a lot of talk with the Big Ten and Pac-12 having to add teams to try and keep up the SEC. And the one thing that I haven't really heard about either of those conferences doing is kind of rearranging the divisions. And I feel like the Big Ten could really benefit from doing that, as I think probably having all their best teams in the East has kind of stopped them from having a real legitimate shot at having two teams in the playoff the way the SEC was able to do a few years back. I was wondering if you feel like that would be something that would help the Big Ten and also help the Pac-12 in terms of having a chance at either getting one team into the playoff or potentially two in the future. Thanks, guys.
I haven't heard Kevin Warren talk about it. He might have, but I know George Kliavkov has. Like, all that's on the table, right?
Yeah.
Get rid of divisions, move to whatever you got to do. All those things.
Up, yeah.
All those things, whenever we would talk about it, some of the people, the listeners would be all mad at us. Like, no. Oregon State needs more trips to California. It's like George Kliavkov's like, yeah, none of that matters. Like, we're going to do what's best to try to get teams in the playoffs. So that's definitely on the table in the Pac-12. I haven't heard if they would want to rework those divisions or whatever in the Big Ten. Have you heard anything like that? Or
no, not at all. So
it could have happened. We just didn't listen.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything like that.
But yeah, I think in this new era of college football and realignment and all of that, I think people are probably going to follow in what the words of George Kliavkov and just saying, like, we have to do what we can to maximize our best teams. And, you know, if whoever it is, if it's Michigan State one year, they're the best chance to get, you know, they don't want to be an impediment to Michigan State making the college football playoff, you know, whoever it is. So I feel like that's where these conferences are going to go. So if there's something you can do with the divisions to rearrange or get rid of or whatever to kind of allow, you know, the scenario when, what was it, like a 6-6 UCLA team was in the conference championship game and could have, you know, upset whatever Stanford or Oregon, I forget who it was that year, and then really knock yourself out of the playoffs. So I know the Pac-12 is trying to do that, Perk, and I'm guessing the Big Ten would be, you know, doing whatever they can too.
Yeah, agreed.
But all right, well, good stuff.
Best stuff.
It was
top tier stuff.
It was good. Thanks for all the questions.
It was the best of stuff. It was the worst of stuff.
And we had like 5 reviews.
Yeah,
awesome. Those 5-star reviews.
Those are truly great.
It's funny when I look at other podcasts too. Like, not everyone just gets 5-star reviews all the time. I mean, not everyone gets them, but we have a good average as far as.
Like, I loved the review several months ago that said that the entire purpose of this show was actually to drive people to give 5-star reviews. And I think you could make that argument very fairly.
Well, I mean, we talk about it at the very beginning, but it's not like we hound on. But I never really cared about that stuff. But it does help, you know. We put effort into the show. We don't get paid really for it or anything. So, like, if it's something that can help out and the listeners want to do it, I like it. It's something, actually, the 24/7 sports people pointed out. Like, that's something that they track and everything. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, we can try to get that more. I mean, I like soliciting questions, getting voicemails. Just, I know people are interacting with the show, but this is a way that's sort of like documented that people are interacting with the show by leaving a review.
Yeah, it's left there for posterity. Anybody can see it.
Yeah. But thanks for that. Make sure you go check out that story, our buddy Kyle Bonagora, Adam Rittenberg. It's a good one. On Paul Wolf. And anything else before we go, Dave?
God, no.
Okay. He's done. He's done talking. But We hope you enjoyed this edition. We got our Pac-12 South preview will be next week. If you have any questions about that, let us know early. We'll try to start planning for it maybe a little earlier so we can get some more. Yeah, probably not. Okay. I'm not going to happen. Shoot for the stars here. That's probably not going to happen. But it does help us kind of get back into things. We'll do our all of our picks. And then it's going to be like college football season, which is absolutely crazy. So for David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Thanks so much for tuning in to the podcast of champions. Hope you enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.